Morning again. I want to encourage everyone to check out the church website. The bulletin's available there, electronic format, and it's got information about current announcements. Also, on the church webpage, there's also an announcement tab. You can pick up in the current latest announcements on that. Our memory verse this week is taken from Revelation chapter 21, verse 26. And it said, "It is done. I'm the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." So we've been looking some time about through our memory verses, using them as our text for our sermons on Sunday mornings. And so we're going to sort of continue that this morning. But let's put the book of Revelation, and particularly chapter 21, in context this morning. John, the apostle of Jesus, was in exile on a small Greek island called Patmos in the Aegean Sea. This island is still there today. It's just off the coast of modern-day Turkey. He was there because the Roman emperor at that time, Domitian, was persecuting Christians, and John, the apostle of Jesus, was a target of this persecution. So at that time, it was not a very developed area. If you go visit it today, there's actually a cave they said that they believed that John lived in while he was in exile on the island. But John tells us on chapter 1, it was Sunday, it was the Lord's Day, and Jesus showed up. And Jesus had a message for John to share with the followers of Jesus. Now, if you take all 22 chapters of the book of Revelation as a whole, it's pretty challenging material. Biblical scholars have been debating it for over 2,000 years. But the reality is that it can be summarized in two words: we win. Even though some of the images are disturbing, the prophecies that are going to affect God's people are challenging to us, we win. And in the end, Satan is defeated. I guess to sort of think about this morning, have you ever been really, really, really thirsty? I mean, maybe during the summertime when it's really hot outside, and maybe you've been working, and I mean, it's like your tongue is sticking to the roof of your mouth. You're just so thirsty. Those of us who grew up in the country and helped haul hay or maybe worked in tobacco, when that water jug got brought out, we really didn't care who had a drink from it. We all drank from it. Now, that wouldn't work today in our current situation, but that's what it was then, and not many of us can remember that experience. But that cold drink of water was just so refreshing and so necessary. You know, one of the challenges with physical thirst, though, it can be satisfied for just a while, but then again, you get thirsty. Now, this promise that Jesus makes in Revelation chapter 21, he's talking about spiritual thirst, and it's even a deeper kind of thirst. It cannot be quenched by anything except for the right thing. And so when Jesus says in Revelation chapter 21, "It is done, I'm the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life." This week's memory verse has one statement and two promises. In our time this morning, I want us to look at that statement and the two promises he makes. First, Jesus tells us that he is the beginning and the end of all things. Now, John had previously recorded in his gospel this truth about who Jesus is. In John chapter 1, beginning with verse 1, John said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through him, and without him nothing that was made was made. In him was life, and life was the light of men." John goes from the very beginning of his gospels and says, Jesus is from the very beginning. He is the beginning. And so when Jesus makes his proclamation in the book of Revelation, he's the beginning and the end. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha, the Omega, or would we say he's from the A to the Z. He is all. And so Jesus is fully revealed in creation. Everything in this world has his fingerprints on it. You're part of him, and he is part of you. But what happens is that sin enters into our life and sin destroys our connection with Jesus, our connection with Christ. And the reality is that when this sin accepts us, that each individual one of us has to come and accept Jesus for our very own. Jesus will not force himself upon you. He must be invited into your life. You must be willing to accept Jesus for who he is, the beginning, the end, the first, and the last, the author of salvation. In John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus makes this statement to the people of his day. Therefore, I said to you that you will die in your sins, for if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. Jesus stands between us and our sins. And he paid the ultimate sacrifice so that we may be forgiven of our sins, but we must accept Jesus for who he is. The beginning and the end, the first and the last, the Savior of all mankind. Now, I mentioned this statement that Jesus makes of himself, and it's recorded in Scripture and sustained in Scripture through the revelation of John and others as well, that Jesus is the ultimate, and it's through Jesus that we understand that we have the promises that we have. But these two promises specifically given in the memory verses this morning come to make us understand that when we have a spiritual thirst, when there's nothing else in this life that will satisfy us and bring us peace, Jesus says, I'm there to fulfill it. Really, the language that is used here in Revelation chapter 21 reminds me of another story recorded in John chapter 4. If you have your Bibles, you may want to turn there, but if not, I'm going to sort of paraphrase the story for you. Jesus and disciples were out traveling. They come to a city of Samaria, and Samaria was not a city that they really wanted to spend much time in. But Jesus sends them into town. He stays on the outskirts of town near a well. And he sends them to the in town to get some provisions that they would need for their journey, perhaps even for their lunch that day. It's indicated it's in the hot part of the day, and a woman comes out to the well in the hot part of the day. And maybe that reveals a little bit to us because calling water was a difficult chore. And instead of choosing the cooler parts of the day, maybe the early morning or maybe the evening when a lot of people would choose to do that very chore, she chose the hot part of the day, maybe because there wouldn't be as many people. Maybe there wouldn't be people who would whisper about her as she walked through and walked by. Because she is a woman who'd made some bad choices in her life, apparently. Some difficult choices, maybe. But she sees Jesus at the well, and Jesus asks her for a drink of water, and she's surprised that this Jewish man is talking to her, a Samaritan woman. And Jesus and her begins this discussion about who's going to worship God and where they're going to worship God. And she states that her father said they should worship the God on Mount Gerizim, where she's from, on that mountain where Jesus is at. And she says, but your people say Jerusalem. And Jesus says, listen, you know, the time now is that God's really looking for people who really want to worship him in spirit and in truth. That people who have this spiritual hunger are pursuing God, and God's looking to come to them. And even this morning, as you're sitting in your homes or wherever you're assembled listening to this broadcast, God is there. He's there in the presence. He's in your living room. He's in your den. He's sitting maybe at the kitchen table with you this morning. But God is there because he's seeking people who want to worship him. And God is there. But Jesus makes this very profound statement to this woman she says, well, you know, give me this living water that you're talking about. And Jesus says, you know, whoever drinks of this water that comes from this well will thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water I shall give him will never thirst. But the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. So we see that this promise being echoed again in Revelation chapter 1, that Jesus promises that this spiritual water that will sustain us and keep us, for we'll never become spiritually thirsty again because Jesus will satisfy our spiritual needs. Jesus makes the promise to this woman, the same promise is made in Revelation chapter 21. Only Jesus can satisfy the spiritual thirst. Now, looking at these two promises, the promise number one, if you're thirsty for more than what this world has to offer, Jesus will give you living water. Now, I know in this time, many of us are sort of reevaluating what this world has to offer. Even the things that we thought we had to have, realize, well, we don't have to have those things. Being able to maybe slow down a little bit and reflect on your life. I mean, you don't have to turn the TV on or radio on very long to hear news that are pretty challenging and discouraging to us. But as people of faith, we need not fear, because we are people who put our faith and trust in the person who created this world, and our faith and trust in the person who sustains this world. We're told by one of the apostles in his writings that we should cast our cares upon Jesus because he cares for us. But this promise that Jesus makes is really echoed again, not only from chapter 21, but again in chapter 22, verse 17. Toward the end of this revelation, and Jesus says, and the Spirit, that's the Holy Spirit, and the bride, that is the church, say, come. And let who hears come. And let him who thirst come. Whoever desires, let him drink, and let him take of the water of life freely. This is a universal invitation. This is Jesus saying that whoever wants the spiritual water, the kind that will fill you spiritually so that you will never thirst again, so you will not have to fear for tomorrow, because he is with you. His Spirit will sustain you. Jesus makes this tremendous promise that is available to whoever wants it. Whoever wants it. And Jesus implies here that not only is the Holy Spirit at work, but the church is working the life of the people. I don't know in God's wisdom why he's allowed the things to happen that's happening. I was reflecting on it about 100 years ago, a little over 100 years ago, in 1918. The world was affected with a virus at that time. And if you read the historical records, and I remember my grandfather talking about it, he survived that flu in 1918. But the devastation that occurred then, and here we are 100 years later, just a little over 100 years later, seeing the whole thing affect the world again. When I think about the world and how things happen that affect the world, you can't help but think that God has a way of trying to get everyone's collective attention at one time. And maybe it's a collective invitation to consider the invitation of Jesus. Whoever desires, let him take of the water of life freely. And I know maybe people are speculating and thinking about their spiritual condition and where they stand in the face of eternity. And the reality is that Jesus says his invitation is open and free. The second promise this morning is that it is free. You cannot earn it or buy it. It's completely free. Jesus paid the price on Calvary. He became the ultimate sacrifice of sin. What the Hebrew writer says, what the blood of bulls and goats could not do under the old covenant, Jesus completely did. He is our high priest that's entered the Holy of Holies, and he makes intercession for us before the throne of God. In John chapter 10, verse 7 and 10, Jesus talks about his followers and the people who will offer alternative ways to God that are not through him. And Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 7, then he said it to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and I will go in and find pastures. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. Listen to this promise. I have come that they have life, and they may have it more abundantly. This is the promise that Jesus is making here, that this covenant promise of accepting and receiving this gift he has to offer is freely given to us because he made the atoning sacrifice of his blood. Now, this water he talks about, we see the parallel to it in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21, in which Peter talks about the days of Noah, that other cataclysmic, world-shaping event that everybody in the world was affected by. But Noah and his family were safe from. Peter corresponds and compares baptism to the experience of Noah, and in which he says, baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you. Not the removal of the dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, one of the great promises that Jesus makes in this passage of our memory verse is that this promise cannot be canceled or revoked. Whosoever will accept it. John had recorded in his gospel that great passage, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is as true today as it was in John's day. On that Sunday morning on that rugged Greek island, when the Lord showed up and said, listen, I've got something I want you to tell my people. And I want them to hear it. But I also want you to go beyond just my people. I want you to extend this invitation to anyone who wants to receive satiation for their spiritual thirst. That offer the waters of life freely. And so spiritual thirst can only be completely filled fully in Jesus. He has done all the work, and all we have to do is to accept it. In the past few days, I've had people reach out to me because they've been concerned about their spiritual situation. We've had folks who wanted prayers. We've had folks who wanted baptism. And so I guess in this morning, I want to, if you're hearing me in any way, if you have a spiritual need, I'm going to say a prayer for all of us, but if you have a spiritual need that you want to sort of make things right with God in your heart, you can begin that process right where you're at. You know, and so as we say our prayer this morning, if you have a spiritual need and you want to make things right with God, just sitting where you're at, just I want you to raise your hand up. But if you are questioning whether or not you are in a covenant relationship with Jesus, and as we've talked about this morning, what Peter said, that baptism is an act that saves us, is the access to this living water that Jesus promised. If you have a desire for that, why don't you reach out to me or Jeff or Tyler or the elders, and we'll be glad to meet you here at the church and help you with your need. Because you know what? Jesus, he's done it all for us. And we have an opportunity to show him that we're accepting his promise, that we can never do it on our own, but that he's done it fully for us. So if you will, just right where you're at, just bow your head for just a moment. And again, if you have a spiritual need, just raise your hand right where you're at. And if you have a desire to put Jesus on a baptism, just reach out to us, and we'll meet you wherever you want to be done. We'll meet here, or we'll meet down at the creek if you want to. Just however you want to make things right with the Lord. But let's pray right now. Gracious Father, we are indeed thankful to the Lord that we can call you Father because you sent your Son to die for us. Heavenly Father, in these difficult and scary times, Heavenly Father, we know that as believers, we should have nothing that brings us fear because we know that you are with us. Lord, we know that many years ago that the man pursued your heart named David, Heavenly Father, said that you are always with us. And even though that we go through difficult times, that you're there always provide for us, Heavenly Father. In the presence of our enemies, Heavenly Father, in difficult times, Lord, that you are the great shepherd. Heavenly Father, we're thankful that Jesus made this offer, that this is unconditional, that we can receive it fully, Heavenly Father. But Heavenly Father, that he will not force it upon us, dear Lord, but we must be willing to accept it for ourselves. Heavenly Father, we pray this morning, Heavenly Father, that if there's anyone who stands outside the ark of safety, dear Lord, that they will consider the situation, dear Lord. Heavenly Father, there are our humble hearts before you this morning, and we pray to the Lord that those, Heavenly Father, that are asking, Heavenly Father, that things be right between you and them, that you forgive anything that stands against them since they last justified before your throne of grace and mercy, Heavenly Father. Lord, may they make this point of reference in their life, Heavenly Father, to walk closer to you, Heavenly Father, and to glorify you. Dear Lord, we pray that you give us courage as a church to be bold in our proclamations of our faith and trust in you. Heavenly Father, may we be able to live courageously in this time so that the world may look upon us, Heavenly Father, and be pointed to the direction of Jesus by the acts and deeds of our faith. Let us be kind and considerate to one another, Heavenly Father, dear Lord, and we pray that if there's anyone that's under conviction, Heavenly Father, to make that confession, Heavenly Father, and to fulfill and access the waters of life freely that Jesus, Heavenly, has promised, dear Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that they'll not tarry on that and they'll make the request made known, Heavenly Father. Lord, we continue to pray for our leaders. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you give them wisdom and guidance, dear Lord. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you pray to us as people, Heavenly Father, that we'll heed good wisdom and guidance, Heavenly Father. We pray that as a church, dear Lord, that you may be glorified in our efforts, dear Lord. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the gifts that you've given us, dear Lord. We're thankful, Heavenly Father, for the nice weather you've sent the past few days, Heavenly Father. We pray, dear Lord, continue to sustain us, dear Lord, and keep us, Heavenly Father. We pray this day, Heavenly Father, that people's hearts have been touched, dear Lord, and lives will be changed, Heavenly Father, through the power of your word and Heavenly Father, through the power of your grace. And we ask all this through your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeffrey, please lead us in a song.